So anyhow, like I said 2 weeks ago, I'm one of those. Well, I should not be the only one, but I need to be building upon anything that is being taught in this house. And so last week, Pastor Emmanuel taught on a lot of things, but the key word that he taught on last week was the word. What was the key word that we heard for like 45 minutes last week? What was the key word? It starts with an S.
Serve.
So I still have my notes here. I always keep my notes. Anything he teaches, because that's if we're going to work together, that's just the way it has to work. I had a lot to choose from. And the next day, which was Thursday, I said to the Lord, I said, if there's a verse in the New Testament that actually has the word serve with the word one another, which I didn't know if there was, I said, that's what I'm going to teach on. And lo and behold, there was one verse with the word serve with the word one another. Because Pastor Emmanuel, last week, he made much about leaders serving, right? That's what he made much emphasis about. But also, as the body of Christ, we are to learn how to serve one another. Now, before I get into this, I have to share this because, you know, when God, our brother, shared how he was blessed this week, I was at a little prayer meeting last night, and our brother shared a verse. And at first it didn't mean nothing to me because it came out of the Old Testament. I got to learn. The thing is with Old Testament and New Testament is we got to find parallels. And when there's a parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament, I knew I'd have you laughing. If there's a parallel, then I receive it. Because if I can find it in the New Testament, if I can find something in the Old Testament that I can find in the New Testament, it's for today. So I just want to share this with you because I know this is going to bless you because this was just not for me, but I know the Lord gave it to me last night. It really encouraged me, but it's for everybody. It's for all of us. Let's go to Exodus 14, 13 to 14 to begin with. This is going to bless you. I know it is. This is powerful. And I hardly know the book of Exodus. Chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. And I want to ask for forgiveness. 2 weeks ago, I went through my verses really quick. I'm going to slow down today and so that you can write them down. Because I know it's important. I've heard preachers before, and I'm trying to keep up with what they're saying. And I have a hard time sometimes, so I'm going to slow down a little bit. So here it says in Exodus 14, 13, Moses told the people, fear not, stand still, amplified, firm, stand firm, stand confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. Whew. The Lord, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. And at first that verse meant nothing to me, and on my way home, God began to minister to me this verse. And very interesting here. He will work for you. In 2007, I was on my parents' swing at the back. I was praying in tongues. And the Lord gave me this word. He says, Pierre, I don't want you to work for me anymore. I want to work for you. And I didn't think it was the Lord. And then that's when God began to teach me how he wants to work through me. Now, if you don't believe that the Lord had given you that word, I want to give you parallel verses to back that up. Old Testament and the New Testament before we move forward. Key words, he will work for you. 14, the Lord will fight for you. For you, for you, for you, for you. God is for us, not against us. Another great verse is 2 Chronicles 16:9. I won't read them out right now because I got to move on to my message. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Same idea. God working on our behalf. Isaiah 64:4. God working on our behalf. So some of you may say, well, where is that in the New Testament? I'll give you two verses in the New Testament. First one is Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to His power, not my power, according to His power that is at work within us. That's His power working on our behalf. The other verse is Romans 4:21. God, Abraham, became fully persuaded that God is able to perform what He has promised on behalf of Abraham. Of course, for His kingdom, but on behalf of His people. So, some of you are... I heard this preacher saying this a few years ago, and it really blessed me. He says, let God flex His muscles for you. Yeah. And I like that, because you know what? Ever since I started fasting, I don't have any muscles left. Now, my brother here, my brother here has got muscles bigger than even the ones I had my drywall years. But you know what? If I have to choose between God's muscles and my brother's muscles, I'll choose Jesus' muscles any day. Right? Now, some of you may say, well, where is that? Let God flex His muscles for you. Well, let me tell you something. I came across this a few years ago. Go to Ephesians 1:11. The latter part of it, it says, in accordance with His purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of His own will. Did you see that right there? Who works out? Did you know that God works out? I had to make you guys laugh a little bit. You know what? I'm learning to have fun.
Amen. Praise God. I love that.
I had a word from the Lord about a month ago from my brother, and the Lord said, Pierre, you need to enjoy your walk with me a little bit more. And my brother even said, how many times have you said, you're just so serious. You're always serious. And we need to be serious, but we need to have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm learning to be a little bit more, have more of a smile on my face. Not all the time, because hell's a serious issue. But all I know is I came across this years ago, a few years ago, God who works out. So God works out. You see God going to the gym to flex His muscles? Okay, anyhow, let's move on, okay? So, the intro that I want to share out of Exodus here is that the word salvation is the word out of all things. I've heard this word for years from our Messianic Jews, brothers and sisters. They always refer to the word Yeshua. Yeshua. And you know what? It never meant nothing to me. I'm just being honest. It never meant nothing to me because I'm New Testament, man. Give me New Testament verses, you know. So anyhow, I looked up this word today, the word salvation. It's the word Yeshua. Okay, Yeshua. It's a big word. It's equivalent with the word Jehovah. It's up there, you know, concerning God. But the interesting part about this word Yeshua is we get the word Joshua. And the word Joshua in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word for the equivalent of a word, Jesus, in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So when He's talking about salvation here, the salvation of the Lord, He's talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Isn't that powerful? Amen. It blessed me today. And I could not keep that to myself. Yes. You know, when God gives you revelation, He expects you to share it with His people. Yes. He does. That's just the way He is. Yes. God shares, God reveals. God is not a concealer. The devil's a concealer. Religion's a concealer. God's a revealer. God shares. He wants to share. This word, Yeshua, it comes from the word Yasha. It's Y-A-S-H-A. And it's the same definitions for our Greek word, sozo. Same definitions. Okay? I'm big on word studies, and it's obvious. It's for the right reasons. You know, God speaks to me that way. And when I read that word now, salvation, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, right away, I have a better understanding of it. And that's the way we should read the word. We should. Yeah. You know, that's what teachers are all about, too. You know, and our brother's going to be doing that in the near future when we start getting together and getting into the Hebrew and Greek and all that, because he wants to do that, and I appreciate that about him. So anyhow, some of the main definitions for this word Yeshua or Yasha is the word salvation. We have the word deliverance. We have the word victory. We have the word aid. We have the word help. We have the word prosperity. We have the word health. We have the word freedom. And we also have the word defense. That's all Yeshua. Our Yeshua. Our Jesus. Very encouraging. Very encouraging. That's my introduction. So the key word that our brother shared last week was this word serve. The word serve in the Greek, the key word, this is always derivatives and synonyms and all that, but the word, the main word, the Greek word for the word serve is the word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. And some of the main definitions are the word slave, subjection, servant, bond servant, subservient, and the word service. Now these words, depending on the context that they're written in, they can mean free or to be forced. So you can be a free slave, being a slave out of your own will, volition, or being forced to become a slave. Now we know with God, there's always a freedom, right, involved, right? God lets us free to serve Him or not to serve Him. Unlike the devil, there's no freedom with the enemy, right? With the God of this world, right? So, this word doulos, interesting, it comes from the word deal. And did you know that the word deal, we got a word, French word, Dieu, which is a word God. The word deal literally is the Italian word for the word God. When I work with the Italians on the construction site, I started to learn a little bit of French, a little bit of Italian, and the one thing that I use many times with them is like, my name is Pierino in Italian, so I would say, Pierino adore Dio. That was my key word that I used with the guys to minister to them. I tried to minister them with their language, and that was the word for God, is Dio. Now this word here, it's a derivative from it, but it also has the idea of to bind. It has the idea of bonds, tie, to knit. Usually it's used with the word together. Because we know that the word, well, our brother actually quoted the verse out of John 1:1. We know that the word was God. You know, it's funny, out of John 1, it doesn't say in the beginning was God. That hit me a few years ago. It doesn't say, in the beginning, the Word was God. No, yeah, it says, the Word was God. It's the Word. He puts emphasis on the Word. That's when I saw that, it made a lot of sense why God wanted us to put a lot of emphasis on His written Word. Because without the written Word, like Wigglesworth said, he says, I cannot know God without His Word. Because God has revealed Himself through a word, through His Word. Without His Word, how could you learn about God? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. He can reveal things to you. But there's so much in the Word that He has already revealed about Himself, about ourselves, our condition in our fallen state, but also in who we are in Christ. What God has revealed to us about the enemy, how to have victory over him, all in His Word. And I'm going to be honest with you, for years, I've shared this here before, but for years, I neglected His Word overall. I was more into books. Now, I was into the Word, but in 2000, I'm not too sure what year, but anyhow, I was working one day, and I was installing tiles, and the Lord spoke to me three times. He said the very same thing within 5 seconds. He said, my Word demands your full attention. And even then, after that, I didn't pay attention to it. I thought I was already in His Word. And then I realized a few years later what he was talking about. He wanted me to eat his word. Yeah. He said, my word demands your full attention. Three times he gave it to me. I had a bundle of tiles on my shoulder. I was working, I was heading towards my scaffold, and God spoke to me. I still remember I was working on the Bell building out in Dixie Road in Brampton.
Yeah.
You know? So, God's word has also been given to us in seed form. Luke 8:11. So that means God expects us to sow His Word, so that we can have a harvest of His Word. So going back to what I said about serving one another, the verse that we're going to build off or build upon is found in Galatians 5:13, as well as verse 14 and 15. But Galatians 5:13, very interesting, talking about loving, in love, serving one another. Not grudgingly, but in love, serving one another. Now this word, another, is used three times just in those three verses. Once in a positive way, and twice in a very negative way. And even the word love is mentioned twice in verse 13 and 14 and 15. Twice. So God associates serving one another in love. Yeah. And we know that the word says that God is love. Yeah. And even in 1 Corinthians 13 says, you know, you can give your body over, you can do all of these different things, but if you don't have love, yes, it's worthless.
That's right.
It's worthless. So, let me give you a few verses here concerning this word serve. I'll go slow. Some of them I'm going to read out because they're worth reading out, especially in the Amplified. The first reference to this word serve concerning God or Jesus, not serving one another, but towards God or Jesus, is found in Colossians 3:24 concerning the Lord himself, serving the Lord. We also have in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, as well as we have Hebrews 9:4 and Hebrews 12:28. These last three references I just mentioned have to do with serving God. Interesting, in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, he uses the same word, doulos, he says you cannot serve God and mammon.
Yeah.
You're going to serve one and hate the other.
Right.
So you can't serve both. You can't. It's impossible.
Yes.
It's impossible. I think that's where a lot of believers, they get tripped up.
Yeah.
They're out serving mammon, and they're trying to serve God, but you can't. You can't. It's impossible. Because mammon demands a lot of your time. It does. It's mammon is a hard taskmaster.
Yes.
Actually, mammon will enslave you. Because when Jesus talks about mammon in Matthew 6, he's talking about the heathen. Right? And he tells his disciples, don't be like the heathen. Right? That's what he says, right? They're looking after all these things that they can get, what they need, right? But Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, if you seek God's kingdom, his righteousness, all these things that the heathen are after, he says, I'll give them to you. But you got to seek my kingdom first and foremost as a priority, and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom, but his righteousness. The rest of this study, I really want to put emphasis not so much on the word serve, but I want to put emphasis on the word one another.
Yes, amen.
Because this is very interesting. I came across this a few years ago. I could not believe how many times the word one another is mentioned in the New Testament. It's everywhere. And I've got a few verses here. A lot of them I leave out, but I really went out of my way to choose some of the really good ones, even though they're all good. The word one another, different translations, could be also translated one to another, or one towards another. But they all mean the same thing, one another. This word, one another, comes from the word, two Greek words.
Yes.
We have the word allelon, A-L-L-E-L-O-N, or allos, A-L-L-O-S. Some of the key definitions, and I'm going to unpack this for you guys after this. Some of the key definitions for these two Greek words, the first one is to reduplicate. And one of the words that he mentioned to me on Tuesday concerning discipleship is Jesus wanting to duplicate himself.
Yes.
That's what he wants. He wants to multiply himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what he wants to do. So we have the word reduplication here for the word one another. Another one is the word mutual. One another carries the idea of mutual. It always carries the idea of more than two people. At least two people. Right? We also have the word reciprocal. That's a big word. And that's the one I want to zero on for a couple minutes here. Reciprocal. This word reciprocal, I've got a few definitions here. And some of the key ideas of this word reciprocal regarding one another carries the idea of unity. So we're talking about unity between two people. And we're not talking about just God here. We're talking about believers here. Because what I'm going to get into this concerning the body of Christ. Carries the idea of unity. Carries the idea of harmony. It also carries the idea of something that is shared, felt, or shown by both sides of the parties, of the two people, and not only one side. I was telling David the other day, one of the reasons why we have so many divorces and separations and even adultery in the church, in the world, yes, but even in the church, is I'm not putting all the blame on the man, but I've read enough books, I've read enough articles, and I've seen it for myself, that the wife is so committed to her husband, and what happens after a while is that commitment is not being returned back to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, you know what happens? Is the wife, she's no longer as encouraged or enthused about giving to her husband because it's not coming back.
Yeah.
Did you know that God expects... We expect certain things from God, right? We do. We have the right to expect certain things from God. We're His children. He's our Father. He's our God. He's our provider. He's a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
We expect a lot of things from Him. But did you know He expects things from us too?
Amen.
He really does.
Yes.
A lot of things. The more I get into the Word, the more I realize He expects a lot from me. But He wants that because it builds on the relationship.
Yeah.
It really does. It makes total sense. Going back to what I said, you got a woman that keeps giving and keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. She's not getting back. You know what? Boom. She's out of there.
Yeah.
She's gone. And you know what? I don't blame her. I'm not an advocate for divorce. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm just saying this is reality.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with God. God keeps wanting to keep giving, and we never give ourselves back to Him. You know what? It's just not going to work. It's a two-way street with God. And it's a two-way street with the body of Christ. It has to be. It makes total sense. Because where Paul goes into the whole place of the physical body. My whole body works together.
Yeah.
Your body works together at all times. It works in total harmony and unity at all times. I'm a little ahead of myself here. Also has the idea of mutually corresponding to one another.
Yes.
Keep this in mind. But keep it in mind with the word one another. Okay, keep that in mind. It also has the idea of agreement to give and take mutually. See, you give, but you get back.
Yes.
You take, but you get back.
Uh-huh.
It's a mutual thing. To return in the same way or the same degree. Somebody does something good for you, you know what? You should want to do something good back for them.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about strings attached here. I'm not talking about that.
That's right.
The context is love.
Yeah.
The context is love and working as a body to get work done.
That's right.
I'm kind of leaving a lot of things out because I only have so much time, right? So it also has the idea of mutual dependence upon one another. The body, the way it works. Totally dependent on one another. When I need a glass of water, which I drink a lot when I do a lot of fasting, my hand to get that glass of water is totally dependent upon my feet. To get to that glass of water.
Yes, yes.
My eyes to get to that glass of water. My mouth to drink the water. Just the way the body works. It's amazing. And Paul refers to the body of Christ to the physical body. We're going to get into that in a couple minutes. Mutual exchange. Mutual recognition. You hear somebody say something good. They got a good teaching. Whatever. Whatever they do, recognize it. Say something about it. Encourage them. And it should be reciprocal too. I'm not saying make anything up. I'm not saying a pat on the back or whatever that is kind of superficial. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that at all. Here is a partial list of key verses with this word, one another. We're going to start in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Also John 15, verses 12 and 17, where we know Jesus said, love one another. Love one another. It's the word alos. It's the same word. Okay? Love one another. One person, one disciple loves the other disciple. The other disciple should expect the other disciple to love him back. You should. Reciprocal. That's what it's all about. And I'm not saying this is easy. This takes a lot of transformation. This takes a lot of mind renewal. Yeah. You know? Another great translation, or another great verse, and I'm going to read this one out. I'm going to read a lot of these next ones out. It's Romans 12:5. There's quite a few in Romans. And that's what I did on purpose. I try to keep things all in one same area. It just makes things easier for people to write down and for me to teach also. And it makes it easier too for David too when he's doing my YouTube videos. But Romans 12:5, it says here, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. In Romans 12, we're still in Romans. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Still in Romans 12. 16. I love this one. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people. I got to work on that one. Things and give yourselves to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Powerful. Imagine renewing our minds to these verses, we'd have a whole different kind of church. Overall, I mean overall in the world, the worldwide church. Romans 14:19. So let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding, edification, and development of one another. Romans 15:5. Now may God, or may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement, grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Now we're going to switch over to 1 Corinthians. One verse in 1 Corinthians that really, I've seen this verse quite a few years ago, and it's a verse that I've been working at transforming to over the few years. 1 Corinthians 12:25. All of this is out of the Amplified. I like the Amplified because it's a lot closer to the original language. And by the way, the original language is even stronger than the Amplified. Verse 25. So that there be show no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. But the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you. Let's move on to Ephesians. I got three good ones in Ephesians here. Ephesians 4, all of them are chapter 4. I'm trying to make things really easy in my teaching. I'm learning more to change the way I teach and stuff, to make things not only easier on me, but on the people that are taking notes and all that. Ephesians 4, 2, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. I'm going to be honest with you. Years ago, what the Word had to teach about love, I couldn't care less about it. Not because I didn't care about love, but I was so caught up with salvation and hell and heaven and got to get people saved. And God began to deal with me about this whole thing about love. And it's not just about love, but it's a big part of our walk with God and our walk with our fellow brothers and sisters. It's a big part of it. And it's something that I had neglected over the years.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 13 never meant nothing to me years ago. The great love chapter never meant nothing to me until 2007. It came alive to me. And I realized I got ways to go. I got ways to go, and I still have ways to go, but I'm going.
Love is a big thing because He is love.
Exactly. That's right. But see, the problem is, not the problem, but the thing is, though, with some people in the church, they've put all their emphasis on the love of God without the justice of God, the judgment of God, you know, all these different things. God hates things that God hates, you know. So we've got to balance things, right? The whole counsel of God, not just part of it. Well, we need the whole counsel of God. But love is a big part. Because if it wasn't for His love, first of all, He would have never created us, and He would have never died for us. Right? God so loved the world.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But at the same time, there's a lot of other things in the Bible that talks about God that doesn't contradict His love, but there's a lot of things that we must not omit or leave out. Next one is Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:32. And become useful and helpful. Wow. And kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I give you these verses. These verses were given in certain contexts. And I'm big on context. You know that here. When I teach on certain verses, I've always said this before. How many verses do we have before those verses? 5, 15, 20, and 5, 15, 20 before. So we got to read these verses in context. But the teaching tonight is on this word, one another. And in the context of what Pastor Emmanuel taught on last week, leadership, service, serving, you know. So we got to keep that in context here. Okay, I think one of my last ones here for this word, one another. This is a big one. They're all big ones. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Emmanuel thought I was going to Hebrews 12. I'll let him do that. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Let us consider and give attention, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking, verse 25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more, faithfully as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of His return.
Yes, amen.
The day of His return. This concept of serving one another always carries also carries the idea of teamwork. Teamwork. And I want to touch on this a little bit. The next video that we're going to be doing for this Mission Enterprise and associated with New Life Global Church Presents with Emmanuel, it's going to be on teamwork concerning traveling. And this all fits in with unity, everything that we're, you know, just everything God is putting together. I shared with them on Tuesday, I said, there's some things I wrote, the Lord showed me in 2011, 2010, 9, that didn't make sense to me. But since I've been coming here, we've been connecting more, and not just with Him, but people here, all that, things are making more sense to me now. Things are being unpacked, you know, and it's very encouraging to me. It's very encouraging because God has to perform His word, but things have to happen. Things have to open up. You can't just have a promise and nothing happens. God has to perform it. You know what I mean? And things are starting to happen here, through here. God chose somehow, I was thinking about this morning, some of the words that God gave me a few years ago, He actually had Emmanuel in mind. That's beyond, I mean, yeah. I don't even go there. I don't think like that. I mean, that's God. You know, He had New Life Global Church in mind. You know, when He gave me those words years ago, He had this man in mind. He had this church in mind, this body in mind, and other people too that are going to come on board. You know, so it's just amazing how God pieces things together as we come in agreement with what He says. You know, He needs our faith, right? So working, team working together, working in harmony and unity. Okay, now this is my closing statements here. You know, overall, over the years, I've always understood the idea of teamwork for many reasons. First of all, before I got saved, I played in rock bands, I played sports, and I worked construction. Playing in a rock band, you got at least 4 or 5 musicians. Playing sports, baseball, some sports you don't have partners, like tennis or unless you're playing doubles, whatever. But baseball, hockey, it's teamwork. It's always teamwork. And the more the team works together, the more they perform better. Same thing with bands. I've been in bands where we didn't get along. Well, you know what? We broke up. But when we got along and we worked together, especially when you're playing with a band where there's 2 guitar players, not just one, we have to work at what part, who gets to play what.
Exactly.
You know? That's called harmony and unity. Yeah. That's called teamwork.
Yeah.
I've been through all of that before I got saved. Work in construction. I installed drywall for years. When you put up 9-footers, 10-footers, 12-footers, and the states that have 16-footers, trust me, you're working with a partner.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay? Even the 16-footers, you need 3 guys.
Yeah.
And trust me, you're working together to put those sheets up.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, when I work construction, I try it sometimes to work on my own because I like to pray in tongues after I got saved. Mm-hmm. And some of my bosses wouldn't let me do that, but a lot of times they gave me a partner to work with because they had ceilings to do, they had big walls to do. I had to learn to adapt. And he had to learn to adapt to me, especially when you got a Christian and a non-Christian.
Yes. Yes.
You got a smoker, you got a non-smoker. You got a guy who swears all day long, you got a guy who doesn't swear all day long. You got to learn to adapt. To get the work done. Especially when you get paid $40, $50 an hour in the union rate. They want work done. And if things didn't work out, they would find you another partner. You know? So, that's why I'm saying I always understood the concept of teamwork in the natural. But when it came to the church, I always kind of thought there's something lacking there. There wasn't a lot of teamwork because there wasn't really anything that was taking place where people were getting together to work together to accomplish something. Now in closing,
Keep going.
No. I cannot end this message without reading out of the most explicit reference to what the Word has to say about the body working together.
Yes.
Now, everybody should know it, but I got to be honest with you. It wasn't until about 2007 or 2008 when the Lord opened this whole area up concerning the body of Christ compared to a physical human body. Mm-hmm. And as I turn there, that's 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read it out. Just that section, not the whole chapter. Because the whole chapter is talking about also the gifts working in the body. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Where the most explicit reference to the gifts is in the very same area where it talks about the body working together.
That's right.
Wow. So I came to the conclusion is that the more we see the body working together, the more we're going to see the gifts.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Amen.
That's very powerful. Because we need the gifts.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
You know, the world is tired of seeing religion.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing religion.
Oh,
we need to start seeing the manifestations of what we're saying, what we're preaching.
Amen.
Through the gifts.
Yeah.
But we need to get the unity working together.
Yeah.
And as I read this, I just want to share this. I was at work one day. I still remember where I was in Markham. I was working in a public school, construction. And I was actually working. I still remember the guy I was working with. And I still remember the company I was working with. And I was cutting a sheet of drywall. And my partner was waiting for me. He was an apprentice. He was an Italian. Nice guy. We got along really good. He loved me. He loved my preaching and all that. He loved everything about God. And as I'm cutting this sheet, supernaturally, I saw my two hands working together. I saw them. This hand had my knife, and I had this hand with my tape. I was cutting a sheet of, it was just an 8-footer, 5'8", fireproof, and we're doing fire tops, and I'm sitting there cutting a sheet. All of a sudden, supernaturally, I don't know how he did it, I saw my two hands working together, and that's when God began to teach me about unity in the body. I saw my two hands. There's no way that I could cut a sheet straight without my two hands working together.
Yeah.
One's got the knife, the other one's got the tape, and I was cutting it. I did that for years. I never saw my two hands working together until that day.
Praise God.
I was powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
How the hands work together, how the body works together, and how God expects His body, His family, to work together.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So here we are, closing. 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12 to verse 27, amplified. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body. He's talking about the physical body there. So it is with Christ and His body. For by means of the personal agency of the Holy Spirit, we were all, not some, all, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, baptized and by baptism united together into one body and all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, or if the whole body were just apostles, or just prophets, or just evangelists, or just pastors, or just teachers. No. That's why there's different giftings in the body.
Mm-hmm.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell?
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them just as he wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. But if the whole body, were all a single organ, where would the body be? Imagine just having a liver. No legs, no body. Imagine just having internal organs. My goodness. It'd be all over the place. Yeah. Wouldn't be able to walk around, wouldn't be able to talk, you know? Where would the body be? Verse 20. And now there are certainly many limbs and organs, but a single body. And the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But instead, there is an absolute necessity for the parts of the body that are considered the more weak. And those parts of the body which we consider rather ignoble are the very part, or weak, are the very part which we invest with additional honor, and our unseemly parts and those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seemliness, modesty, and decorum. With our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so adjusted, mingled, harmonized, and subtly proportioned the parts of the whole body, giving the greater honor and richer endowment to the inferior parts which lack apparent importance. We got that all around. We got all that mixed up in the church today, overall. Not everywhere, but overall. God gave me a word a few years ago. Believe me or not, he gave it to me. I was sitting in my chair. I was praying in tongues. He says, way too much emphasis on leaders and not enough on the body. Whew. Wow. Well, that lines up with your word, Lord. Wow. Okay. Anyhow, we move on. Verse 25. So that there should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike, all alike, reciprocal, remember? Reciprocal, should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. He's not talking about sickness and disease either, by the way. If one member is honored, and all the members should share in the enjoyment of it. So when somebody is blessed in the body, we should be rejoicing with them. Mm-hmm. And when you get blessed, they should be rejoicing with you, because we're part of one body.
Yeah.
That was a tough one for me years ago. I heard prophetic words people were getting, and I'll tell you, I could feel it inside of me. There was a burning, and it was not a happy burning. I was jealous. But I'm getting free. With a lot of fasting, I got free from a lot of that stuff. I was jealous. I hated it. Ooh, it was eating away at me. I'd think about it for hours after. It's like, no, I'm getting free from that. I rejoice with them. If they're getting blessed, I'm not getting blessed. That means they're doing something right, I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right. Verse 27. Last verse, and I'm done after this. Now you, collectively, you is in the plural. Not just a person. It's in the plural. That's why the Amplified's got the word. Collectively, are Christ's body. Wow. We're his body on this planet. We are his physical body. Believe it or not. Whew. Tell you. And we're not going to give an account to the head one day? Yeah, right. And individually, you're members of it, of the body. Each part, severally and distinct. Mm-hmm. Distinct. Different. And each with his own place and function. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.